Yes, Min.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
To both of you have questions tonight?
Well, I have a question. Oh, well, go ahead.
Oh, well, Hanaka, my question is that if you can give us a little, you know, a broader opinion or lecture about this next eclipse, the solar eclipse, and the relationship that he could have with the children of Israel and the other nations.
Did you read the astrology section of last Saturday or Sunday's email?
I did. But I don't know, maybe you have a little more to say about it.
Do you have any questions about what was written there? Do you feel it was not adequate, or do you feel that...
No, I just don't have it in front of me to reread it, but, you know, I don't know if you can, you have something else to say, I don't know.
There is so much to say, and there is nothing to say, because everything depends on consciousness. So most people that you are hearing speak about the solar eclipse and then 2 weeks ago the lunar eclipse, most of the people who are speaking from a frame of agenda, their own expectation. And their words, as they utter them, could manifest. It depends on the quantum consciousness, the total consciousness of the human species. Or more specifically, those people who see the eclipse. The Talmud in general says that a lunar eclipse, which means the sun is blocking the moon, is an indication that the children of Edom will benefit. And a solar eclipse, where the moon blocks the sun, the Talmud says is an indication that the children of Israel will benefit. In what way will they benefit? What is its purpose? It depends on the month of the Hebrew calendar that the eclipses are taking place. Monday, when the eclipse for the solar eclipse takes place, it is still the month of Av. The lunar eclipse took place in the month of Av. The energy of the month of Av is destruction in anticipation of rebuilding. The energy of the month of Av is that of being male, the concept of a father. But a father isn't a father until he has children. So the concept of father also implies children. What is going to happen because of the eclipse? Nothing specific, or everything specific, because it's astrological influences. It will move great bodies of people to a location, to a situation where they can achieve the national consciousness. Now, what does that mean? I don't really know. And even if I did know a specific event that was going to happen, I wouldn't have permission to reveal it. Because we truly do not need to know future events. It's only our ego and our curiosity, which is related to our ego, that says, we want to know. We want to know so we can benefit from the stock market movements. We want to know who we're going to marry. We want to know what's going to happen to our children. We want to know. Is that really what we want to know? We want to know how to serve God. So what will this event indicate to us? It's an energetic movement, and it is a significant one. It's taking place at the Malchut of the month of Av. It is a north node. Solar eclipse. The north node means it's dealing with reincarnation. It's dealing with the life lessons for this world. On the 27th of August, I plan to reveal whatever I have determined or been shown to me about the energy of the year 5778. This solar eclipse is happening in the last day, the Malchut of the month of Av, which in essence represents the Yesod, the male energy, the sharing energy, leading into the next year, 5778. Is 3 times 26. What will you do with that? 57 has to do with Parnassah, the Hebrew word zan has the gematria of 57.
How do you spell it?
Zan, Z-A-N. Zion Nun. Zion represents Yesod of Jerusalem. Zion represents the children of Israel. Nun Sofit represents the vaccine against falling. what's going to happen with the solar eclipse. Make sure you have sunglasses if you look at it. Do you really need to look at it? That's up to you. I do not plan to look at it.
Oh, good, because that's how I felt.
Do you feel my answer is complete yet, Jasmine?
Very much.
May I add something, and you can tear it apart if you want to. You usually do that, you know. But this was years ago, before I even thought of being Jewish. But I know I got, well, maybe I was Jewish because I got my computer in 97. And so maybe I was already, because we went through conversion in 94. But the word, you know, I would get words, and then I'd look up to see what was the Hebrew word. That was before I started, really into Kabbalah. But I was interested, I guess, because I got into the wolf having to deal with the tribe of Benjamin and learned that there was a constellation named Wolf. And also, I don't know, eclipses, sun eclipse and moon. I remember especially it was the word moon. But at the time, I was also really into Song of Song and Shir HaShirim. And I saw the sun being covered by the moon, with the sun being a picture of, a metaphor of Hashem, and the moon being a picture of Israel. And today I would use the words that at that time they're in Zavu, because one is over the other. And what it leaves is kind of like a glowing ring, because the sun is a little bit bigger than the moon. And so you have this little thin glow of the sun when it's a complete eclipse. And that I could liken to a wedding ring. So today I would use the words that to me the sun and the moon at some parts over the world, it's going to be complete. I think here in Louisiana, it's supposed to be 70%. Then we can't actually know for sure where we see it. I'm not so sure, because I don't know what time of the day it's supposed to be. But anyway, the scripture
Before 3 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, so
it's
that's
just before.
Time.
Okay. And it will only last about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think here it's supposed to be 70%. But I know when the lunar eclipse just a while back, we couldn't see it at all because it was overcast. So it didn't matter for us here in Lake Charles anyway. Well, anyway, that glow that shows when it's a full eclipse, that looks like a wedding ring. And I felt like the verse from Song of Songs, set me as a seal upon your heart. You know, it's like a marriage between Israel and Hashem. And so I'd like to keep that consciousness, even if it's not a correct one.
I'm not going to tear it apart, because okay. it's one of the 70 explanations.
Mm-hmm. And
it's a very beautiful one.
You know, so.
Because the sun does represent Hashem, but it also represents the children of Edom. It also represents all of the energy in the world. It has many different meanings. And it really is up to you what it's going to mean.
Well, the thing is, if it, to me, if you have the consciousness that it's Hashem and Israel, then the nations will come in line. You know, it'll lead to a positive thing with the nations.
Yeah, you're seeing the nations coming into line.
Mm-hmm.
You also hear lots of language, lots of projections of this Bible verse means that, and that Bible verse means something else. And that, you know, Iran is going to be the nemesis of the children of Israel until the Mashiach, then Joseph comes and puts it in its place. All of these kinds of prophecies. But it's also, you see how the world is moving slowly, step by step, towards the expression of love. Now, that's kind of hard to accept considering what happened this past weekend. But just before this class, I was watching CNN, and there was a candlelight vigil in Charlottesville that was brought together over, roughly, they estimated 1,000 people singing songs of love and unity. And there was no social media that brought this together. This was done strictly word of mouth. And the people of Charlottesville, the tourists of in Charlottesville. You see in the all of the countries. You see how they're not attacking Israel. Yes, there was Hamas shooting into Israel from the north. Hezbollah, and Hamas was sending rockets into the south. That seems to be coordinated. And you see all of these events, but we don't see the full picture. So you can't take this event and extrapolate it and say this is what it's going to mean. Because we don't have a full picture. We don't know what's going on within the diplomacy. We don't know what's going on in how people are dealing with. But I see the world moving towards the Mashiach consciousness of love and understanding and respect for other people. I see it moving towards inclusivity. Yet at the same time, if you want to see the continuation of separation, you can see that, God forbid. It's up to you. What are you going to see? Everything is consciousness. Everything is relative to your consciousness. And you are going to see what you expect to see. And if you grow up in a church as a child where you've heard fire and brimstone and hellfire, and you've heard that these prophecies are going to lead to Armageddon war, God forbid, then that's what it's going to color your whole worldview as you go through life, unless you decide to change it. Or unless you learn the Kabbalah that opens you up to different understandings. And you relearn those sandbox stories that you were taught as a child. So, Hannah, I hope I didn't tear it apart, because I agree with you. It's one of the understandings.
Well, it happened so long ago, and I don't think I don't remember seeing an eclipse. And for that memory to come back at this time, I just felt like, well, that was something I was shown a long time ago, and here it has some meaning. And I'd prefer to think of it that way. I mean, that's the picture that keeps popping in my head because it was pictures.
You have to remember, you know, that one of the understandings that we work with, and we'll discuss more, it's a little bit more on the 27th, but the name of the year is Tafshin Ayin
Het.
Het. But we can substitute an aleph for the ayin based on the part of the mouth that the word letters come from. And so it becomes Tafshin Aleph Chet. And Aleph Chet spells the word brother or brotherhood. Ach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Chet, Shin Ta, is the way you spell the name Chet, the third child of Adam and Eve.
Yeah, Chet.
Chet represents the balance. The third child represents the balance. So potentially of the energy of the year 5778 is there's a concealed aspect to brotherhood and balance. But there's always, you need to understand, there's always positive and negative in everything. Because it's up to your consciousness. What are you going to see? We'll discuss more on the 27th. What is that energy?
Mm-hmm.
What is the energy of the year Tafshin Ayin Chet? Are there any other questions?
Well, I don't have a question, but I did want to clarify something with Jasmine, and I'm glad she's on the teleconference call. I had made the comment that I don't bake challah on Friday because I have so much to do on Friday, so I always bake early part in the week, and I freeze challah. And sometimes I'll cook 2 days in a row, and, I mean, I really put loaves up. And especially like now, next week I will start to begin to bake enough challah to carry us through, you know, all the holidays, because that's the way I get to enjoy them if I've already got most of my meals prepared ahead of time. And but anyway, we discussed taking the small piece, separating that small piece, and what I do with it until I burn it in the oven, because we don't have gas out here. We only have electricity, so I have an electric stove. And so as I separate the piece, I put the piece or pieces, because I have two bread machines, and so I have the dough going, you know, when it comes out. So I make all day long bread, sometimes several days in a row. But as I separate each piece from each batch of dough, I put it in a plastic bag. And then either the next day or one day, other than the day I bake the challah, is when I burn those pieces. I wrap them in foil and put the oven on 400 and let it cook anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. And then you put it in the trash. Okay, that's the way it goes. It's not supposed to go to the birds. You're not supposed to eat it. It's considered too holy even for the birds. And when I say you put it in the trash, you do it respectfully. And, of course, you've had your blessings that you said when you put it in the oven. And then you asked me, well, what would I do if I baked on a Friday? And, well, if I baked on a Friday, I wouldn't have I wouldn't have served that bread for Shabbat. It would have been one of the loaves that are in the freezer that I've already burned the challah sample, the little pieces, you know. And but if I didn't have any challah at all, then, and I was having guests for Shabbat, and maybe even without it, because when we don't have guests, I'll make little smaller loaves for just Tony and I, then I would burn on the same day. But I probably would do the bread first early in the morning and then wait until the afternoon to actually burn the piece that's been separated. But I don't do that because I'm using bread that I have in the freezer that I've already made, you know. So I just didn't think about it in clarifying it like that because it's just automatic to me. My bread's in the freezer. So I hope that helps you, Jasmine.
Okay, thank you. One thing that I think about it is that you said that the pieces that we separate, they're so holy that, you know, we don't eat it, we don't give it to the birds, but why, you know, throwing them in the garbage is like, it doesn't make any sense.
Let me address that issue, unless, Lana, you want to respond first?
Well, I don't actually throw the piece in there, you know, that's in the foil. I mean, I put it respectfully into the garbage can. And maybe that's not the way, but I've, you know, over the years, I've got a collection of books. When I first started making challah, there wasn't but maybe one or two books out. There were recipe books with challah recipes, but, you know, they weren't teachings. But now there's wonderful material out. But I know when I do the workshops, the ladies are just horrified that why don't you give it to the birds? You know, well, it's too holy for the birds. Well, my husband is a Katz, and he's K-A-T-Z, last name, which means a Cohen. No, because we don't have the temple. And I didn't want to say, and he's not observant anyway, you know, so you would need it. And then one of the women said, well, I knew someone that she would roll hers in cinnamon and sugar, and she'd give it to her kids. You really get some answers, but, you know, you respectfully put it in the trash. Now, that's a method that I remember reading in one of the challah books. So there might be something lately because I haven't really done any extra research and say, well, I did that workshop 2 years ago. So,
So let me add to clarify.
Okay.
Jasmine, it's a good point. It's your response to it is excellent. But there is an understanding dealing with many different levels of kashrut and other aspects of holiness, that you, as long as you are separated by two vessels, the third vessel is no longer what it was, so to speak. So as Hannah said, she's got the burned challah in a tin foil. And then what would be recommended is that she put it in another bag, a plastic bag or another bag, and then possibly a third bag, and then that's what goes into the garbage, so that it it isn't going to be just tossed into the garbage. It's going to be separated, just as the meaning of holiness is to be separated mm-hmm. by something outside of yourself. And so there's nothing wrong with throwing it in the garbage, providing there's at least two vessels separating it from the garbage.
Okay, so that would mean putting it in a Ziploc bag.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes me feel better. I mean, I don't throw it.
I lay it into the garbage bag.
I understand.
No, I've done this for so many years. It's like, you know, it's second nature, and after a while, it's just second nature to you, and you just do these things. And gosh, I can't tell you how many batches of dough went into the garbage can because it came out terrible. It took me. Oh, I bet it took me a year to finally get a recipe that I was trying to bake something that was healthy, not all white. And, you know, Tony didn't like whole wheat, so I had to, you know, try making a mixture between whole wheat and white. And, you know, until finally now he thinks, nobody's challah tastes like mine, so I guess I'm a success after 20, maybe 28, 30 years.
Okay, then. Are there any other questions? Everyone have a beautiful evening. Class is tomorrow at the 4:30 time.
Thank you.
It's going to be continuing our discussions in preparation for the Teshuvah. So, shalom.
Okay, shalom, and thank you.
Shalom.